JSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The department that is responsible for protecting the people from foreign terror has become the Department of State Terror. They're unconstitutional, they're unaccountable, they're violating people's rights to due process.
In Chicago, an ICE agent shot and killed a man last week during a traffic stop. Silverio Villegas Gonzalez had just dropped off his child at school. We'll speak with Chicago Congress member Delia Ramirez. Then ICE detains a Chicago day laborer after he sued a group of off-duty Chicago police officers who were working Home Depot security. Was it retaliation? Then to Bishop William Barber.
That was a brutal, ugly, on-camera assassination of Brother Charlie Kirk. All of us should denounce it. But if you didn't get bothered by the political death that's happening in this country, the political violence and the public violence, until the other day, this must be challenged too.
Bishop Barber says political violence has no place in a democracy, neither does religious nationalism, he says. And finally, to Venezuela.
As it did in September 2nd, the Trump administration has once again attacked the Venezuelan boat in international waters, violating all existing laws and declaring itself judge, jury, and executioner without providing the least amount of evidence.
We'll speak to Venezuelan historian Miguel Tinker Salas. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A United Nations inquiry has found Israel's committed genocide during its nearly two-year assault on the Gaza Strip. Earlier today, the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory said in a 72-page report, Israel's government is responsible for four of the five acts prohibited under the 1948 Genocide Convention. The report holds three Israeli leaders responsible, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and President Isaac Herzog. Nevi Pillay, who heads the commission, drew parallels between Israel's assault on Gaza and the Rwandan genocide of 1994.
Genocide is occurring in Gaza. In the Rwandan genocide, the group were the Tutsis, and here the group are the Palestinians.
The findings could be used by prosecutors at the International Criminal Court for the UN's International or the UN's International Court of Justice. Meanwhile, Israel's military says it's launched a major ground offensive to seize Gaza City and displace its 1 million residents. Gaza health officials report at least 68 people have been killed by Israeli airstrikes since dawn today, most of them in Gaza City. This is Fatima, an elderly resident of a tent camp close to the Al-Ghafari building in western Gaza City, which Israel bombed into rubble Monday.
I cannot stand on my legs out of fear. Enough hunger, thirst, and fear. When they did this, I collapsed completely. I cannot walk.
The Palestinian Civil Defense reports Israel's blown up over 50 Gaza high-rises in recent weeks. In Geneva, Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Occupied Palestinian Territory, said Monday Israel's military is destroying entire neighborhoods and the remnants of buildings where people were seeking shelter.
It's trying to forcibly evacuate the 800,000 Palestinians who were seeking refuge there. But the question is, why? Why? Because this is the last piece of Gaza that needs to be rendered unlivable before advancing the ethnic cleansing of that piece of land. And then probably they will move to the West Bank.
Israel's defense minister said Gaza is burning. Lebanon's health ministry says an Israeli airstrike on a residential building injured 12 civilians in the Nabatea region of southern Lebanon Monday. Four children, seven women were among the wounded. Israel's repeatedly attacked Lebanon despite a ceasefire deal signed in November. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's in Doha today for talks with Qatar's emir, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, in the wake of Israel's deadly strike last week targeting Hamas leaders in Doha. Rubio's trip comes after leaders in the Gulf Cooperation Council said Monday they'd agreed to activate a mutual defense pact in response to Israeli aggression. Meanwhile, Axios reports Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu informed President Trump last Tuesday morning that Israel planned to attack Hamas leaders in Qatar nearly an hour before the strike took place. That report contradicts White House and Trump claims that Trump was notified only after missiles were in the air, giving him no opportunity to oppose the strike. President Trump said Monday the U.S. had carried out a strike against a second boat he alleged was carrying drugs from Venezuela, killing at least three people on board. Trump made the announcement on social media and posted a video of an apparent airstrike showing a speedboat erupting in flames. This follows a strike earlier this month on another boat, also allegedly carrying drugs from Venezuela, which reportedly killed 11 people. Speaking to the New York Times, Rear Admiral Donald Guter, a retired top judge advocate, said, quote, Trump is normalizing what I consider to be an unlawful strike, unquote. Here's Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro speaking shortly before the second strike.
No es una tensión.
This is not tension. It is outright aggression, judicial aggression when they criminalize us, political aggression with their daily threatening statements, diplomatic aggression, and ongoing military aggression. Venezuela is empowered by international law to comprehensively confront this aggression. It is not tension. It is aggression.
We'll look at Trump's attacks on Venezuela later in the broadcast with Venezuelan historian Miguel Tinker Salas. FBI Director Kash Patel says investigators have found DNA evidence linking 22-year-old shooting suspect Tyler Robinson to the killing of right-wing activist Charlie Kirk in Utah last week. Utah County prosecutors will formally arraign Robinson today. They're planning to seek the death penalty. On Monday, Vice President J.D. Vance vowed to dismantle institutions on the political left that he claimed are promoting violence and terrorism. Vance made the remarks while hosting Kirk's podcast, The Charlie Kirk Show.
Of course, we have to make sure that the killer is brought to justice. And importantly, we have to talk about this incredibly destructive movement of left-wing extremism that has grown up over the last few years. And I believe is part of the reason why Charlie was killed by an assassin's bullet. We're going to talk about how to dismantle that.
Joining Vance's call for retribution were White House advisor Stephen Miller, spokesperson Carolyn Leavitt, and Health Secretary RFK Jr. Since Kirk's killing, scores of politicians, public figures, and private sector workers have faced firing, suspensions, or investigations over their comments about the assassination. Among them, The Washington Post's last remaining full-time African-American opinion columnist, Karen Atiyah. In a post on Substack Monday, Atiyah wrote, quote, last week, The Washington Post fired me. The reason? Speaking out against political violence, racial double standards, and America's apathy towards guns, she wrote. In Utah, a law allowing people with permits to openly carry guns on college campuses is being questioned in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Before the bill's passage last month, firearms had to be concealed on college campuses in Utah. Meanwhile, Florida's attorney general says people can now openly carry firearms in public after the state's appeals court struck down a 40-year ban on the practice. President Trump signed an order Monday authorizing the deployment of National Guard troops to Memphis, Tennessee, in support of a new federal task force to combat violent crime in the city. Trump's order came just days after the Memphis Police Department reported crime is at a 25-year low, with robbery, larceny, and burglary all at record lows over the past 8 months. Tennessee Democrats gathered in Memphis Monday to condemn Trump's crackdown. This is State Representative Justin Pearson, who represents Memphis.
Today, it is a conversation about crime. In 14 months, it'll be a conversation about protecting the vote at the voting booth. In 3.5 years, it's going to be about a presidential election and the need to protect it. Right. Now, what happens when we go to the polls and the National Guard is there and all they're doing is asking you, are you sure you want to vote? This isn't just a slippery slope. This is a dangerous impediment on our democracy.
Meanwhile, President Trump said Monday that New York Governor Kathy Hochul's endorsement of Zohran Mamdani in the New York City mayoral election was, quote, a very bad one for New York City, unquote. Trump suggested he would consider holding back federal funds from New York City if Mamdani is elected. After headlines, we'll look at Trump's escalating immigration crackdown on Chicago with Congressmember Delia Ramirez. Trump has also threatened deploying U.S. troops to Chicago. A New York Times reporter has revealed how a member of the ruling family of the United Arab Emirates invested $2 billion in the Trump family's cryptocurrency company just days before the UAE received access to rare artificial intelligence chips. Back in May, Sheikh Tanun bin Zayed Al Nahyan invested $2 billion into World Liberty Financial, a cryptocurrency startup run by the Trump and Witkoff families. Steve Witkoff is President Trump's special envoy to the Middle East. 2 weeks later, the Trump administration approved the sale of hundreds of thousands of AI chips to the Emiratis, despite concerns that the chips could be shared with China. The Times report did not directly link the two deals, but cast suspicion on the timing. Ryan Cummings, chief of staff at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy, said, quote, if this is true, this is the largest public corruption scandal in the history of the United States, and it's not even close, he said. The Trump administration said Monday it's reached a deal with China to keep TikTok operational in the United States after Trump threatened to shut down the popular social media platform, saying it poses a national security concern. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said Trump will speak with Chinese leader Xi Jinping Friday to finalize the deal. It's not clear who the U.S. buyer will be, but it's widely expected to be led by Oracle co-founder and chair Larry Ellison, who last week briefly surpassed Elon Musk as the world's richest person. Larry Ellison has a decades-long history with the Republican Party and has frequented Trump's Mar-a-Lago for dinners and has met Trump in the Oval Office. He's also an ally of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, donating money to Israel's military through the nonprofit Friends of the Israel Defense Forces. This comes just months after the Trump administration cleared the way for an $8 billion merger between Paramount and Skydance, which is run by David Ellison, son of Larry Ellison. According to the Wall Street Journal, Paramount Skydance is exploring a bid for Warner Brothers Discovery, which would put two of Hollywood's most powerful legacy studios under the same owner. Meanwhile, Paramount Skydance is reportedly in talks to hire Barry Weiss as editor-in-chief or co-president of CBS News. Weiss has opposed diversity and inclusion programs as an ardent supporter of Israel's war on Gaza. Her publication, The Free Press, has called widespread reporting on famine conditions there a myth. Senate Republicans have confirmed one of President Trump's top economic advisors, Stephen Miron, to the Federal Reserve Board. In an unusual arrangement, Miron will only take a leave of absence from his role as chair of the Council of Economic Advisers instead of resigning from his post. Miron says he intends to return to the White House after his term ends. The move allows Miron to attend the Fed's 2-day meeting to set interest rates, which starts today. Meanwhile, U.S. appeals court blocked Trump's attempt to fire Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook before today's interest rate meeting. In an opinion, appellate judge Bradley Garcia wrote, quote, before this court, the government does not dispute that it provided Cook no meaningful notice or opportunity to respond to the allegations against her, end quote. President Trump has repeatedly demanded the Federal Reserve cut interest rates fast and has threatened to fire Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. Fired federal prosecutor Maureen Comey, the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, is suing the Trump administration for her sudden termination in July. As a U.S. attorney in Manhattan, Comey had worked on several high-profile cases, including against convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell. Comey's lawsuit claims she had been fired for, quote, her father's protected speech or because of her perceived political affiliation and beliefs or both, unquote. The lawsuit also notes that the far-right activist Laura Loomer had called for Comey's firing on social media. And in El Salvador, protesters took to the streets Monday to demand the release of activists and human rights defenders jailed by President Nayib Bukele, a staunch ally of President Trump. The protest came as El Salvador marked its 204th Independence Day celebrations. This is opposition lawmaker Claudia Ortiz.
El Salvador is on the path to an authoritarian system. An authoritarian system where the state is more important than the individual. And that should not be the case. The state exists to serve the individual, their dignity and their freedom. The state must provide legal certainty. But in El Salvador, the opposite is true.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Just days into Trump's deployment of hundreds of federal immigration officers to Chicago, ICE agents fatally shot Silverio Villegas Gonzalez, after the 38-year-old father panicked and began to drive away in his car trying to evade arrest. Minutes earlier on Friday, Villegas Gonzalez had dropped off his children at school. ICE claimed he dragged an ICE agent with his car. The officer then fired his weapon. Villegas Gonzalez was unarmed and had no criminal record. He was born in Michoacan, Mexico, and worked as a cook. The killing came as the Trump administration intensifies its immigration crackdown in Chicago under so-called Operation Midway Blitz, which DHS Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin claimed would target, quote, the worst of the worst. The Cato Institute revealed earlier this year that 65% of immigrants arrested in Trump's raids had no criminal convictions, and over 93% were never convicted of violent offenses. Protesters gathered in the Chicago suburb of Franklin Park over the weekend demanding justice for Villegas Gonzalez.
This is not fair for our hardworking people to come out here to this country to earn a living. And I just want to say God bless all. Hopefully it gets best wishes for everybody. Hopefully everything gets better situations. But we just need to try, stop scaring our people.
Silverio Villegas Gonzalez's family has organized a fundraiser to help cover the costs of his funeral and burial. In a statement, they wrote he was, quote, someone who always extended a helping hand, shared a smile freely, showed up for those he loved, no matter the circumstances. As ICE agents swarmed the streets of Chicago, advocates also reported the abduction of William Jimenez Gonzalez on Friday. He's a day laborer who's suing off-duty Chicago police, working as security for Home Depot for abusing immigrant day laborers. His legal team says he was taken into custody by ICE in retaliation for his lawsuit. This is Miguel Alvalo Rivera, executive director of Latino Union of Chicago, speaking Saturday at a press conference.
In the initial stages of preparing the lawsuit, we made sure William and the other workers understood the potential risks of going public about what they had experienced. Once people know who you are and that you're standing for justice, they might bother you more than before. William took a deep breath, and in our group's meeting, he said, "I know, but I'm not only doing this to just get justice for myself and my compas. I'm doing this because I don't want anybody else to ever have to live through what I have lived."
This all comes as President Trump is moving to deploy National Guard troops to Memphis with threats that Chicago will be next. For more, we're joined by two guests in Washington, D.C. Representative Delia Ramirez, Democratic Congress member from Illinois, is with us. She's the first Latina Congress member to represent Illinois. And in Chicago, we're joined by Kevin Herrera, legal director of Raise the Floor Alliance, an attorney for William Jimenez Gonzalez. Congressmember, let's begin with you. And the killing of Silverio Villegas Gonzalez. He was stopped in a traffic stop after bringing his kids to school. Explain what you understand happened next.
First of all, what happened to Silverio is absolutely devastating. What we understand is that the ICE report that they released and the footage we have seen does not match. ICE is saying that the agent had been dragged for a long distance. The footage shows that it was less than 100 feet. The footage also shows that there was an unmarked SUV that barricaded Silverio. I mean, the point is, ICE stopped a man right after he dropped off his child at school because he's brown, because maybe he looked like he worked a minimum wage job, and then shot him to death.
And Congresswoman, the boss of Silverio in the Hero shop where he worked claimed that he worked 11 hours a day, that he was a model worker. And your response to this continued criminalization of what is essentially many hardworking immigrants here in the country?
I mean, Juan, not only that. What people haven't talked about, that not only was he a father to a 7- and 3-year-old, he had full custody of these children. These children were left orphans because of ICE and the action they took that morning. It is bone-chilling. People are asking in Chicago and certainly all over the country, if I get stopped because I'm brown, if I get stopped dropping off my child, will my child see me get shot by ICE? Because there's no justice, no accountability in this precise moment in what they're doing. And that is a test. And I think truly devastating of our justice system, that there are agents who can do whatever they want and they don't have to abide by any enforcement and accountability.
And what's been the response of the Chicago community, from the grassroots organizations to City Hall to the governor, in terms of these attacks and the threats of President Trump to bring in the National Guard into Chicago as well?
Well, first one, we need a thorough investigation of what happened. The footage, the witnesses we have talked to do not match what the ICE reports show. I think in order for people to feel like justice has been served, we need to know what exactly happened, the protocols, what training or lack of these agents had, how many agents were there. I think it's really important because people are asking themselves, if Silverio could get shot, what will happen to me? And so I will say to you that people on the ground around the city, and certainly we've seen around the country, they are saying, we want to see justice for Silverio. We want to know the truth. And organizations around the city are doubling down, providing protection, rapid response, showing up. Senator Corina Villa in West Chicago, another part of my district, where a number of agents showed up and started surrounding factories and schools, literally showed up and said to ICE, you do not get to be here. Show me warrants if you want to arrest someone. So that level of organizing with the local electeds, the grassroots organizations, that is what people are counting on, to feel like there's some sense of community coming together to protect them. But that's why I'm talking about filing legislation that begins to defund ICE, but also starts putting parameters of accountability here in Congress, because we cannot allow what's happening to Silverio or children who are being left in a car as they take their mother and father on a main street, as we saw in Chicago as well this weekend.
I'd like to bring in Kevin Herrera, also the lawyer for William Jimenez Gonzalez. Kevin, if you could talk about the circumstances of your client being abducted by ICE agents on Friday.
Sure. Mr. William Jimenez Gonzalez is a brave, kind, hardworking man here in Chicago. And on Friday, he was on his way to the barbershop with his wife, Mari, having worked a full week to get in, you know, a little self-care and relaxation. They were stopped by ICE agents on their way into the barbershop. Those ICE agents told him his full name, asked him to confirm that he was indeed William Alberto Jimenez Gonzalez, and he confirmed that fact. When he chose to do so, they abducted him, took him into custody, and then he disappeared from contact with myself, with his wife, for 2 days. Mr. Jimenez Gonzalez, we believed, was in Broadview facility. I went there that same day on Friday to try and find him in the suburbs of Chicago. I received no acknowledgement at that correctional facility or the transfer processing center, I guess it is. And when I tried to speak to guards and tell them I was an attorney with a client inside, they wouldn't acknowledge my presence. In fact, they waved their hands in my face. A day later, we gathered with Representative Ramirez, who's on the call, as well as Representative Chuy Garcia and Latino Union and supporters from his community, to call for information about him, to call for his release in front of that Broadview facility. Moments later, we received a phone call letting us know that he was in Broadview, but we got nothing more for the rest of the day. I filed a petition for habeas corpus at about 12:30 at night that night, but the following morning I was told that he was moved out of state. So that's where we sit with Mr. Jimenez Gonzalez.
Kevin Herrera, can you explain his, is it a class action lawsuit against police who were being security for Home Depot and what that lawsuit is about?
Sure. We believe Mr. Jimenez Gonzalez has received special attention from ICE, from the federal government, because of his role, not in a class action, but as a plaintiff among four other day laborers, as well as an organizational plaintiff, Latino Union, which we filed in August 2024, against Home Depot, the City of Chicago, and off-duty police officers. Mr. Jimenez Gonzalez was one of among several individuals who was pulled into Home Depot while they were off of Home Depot property by private security guards. We've mentioned before that Mr. Jimenez Gonzalez acts as a day laborer, so he was seeking work from customers and the public outside of Home Depot. But once he was pulled inside, he was taken to a back room, beaten, and then made to sign a paper saying that he had committed trespass. So the functions of this operation by off-duty police working as Home Depot security was to essentially force people who were undocumented into the criminal legal system by forcing them to sign papers. Throughout the process, the allegations have been that this was an abuse via the assault. This was an unlawful deprivation of rights under civil rights laws, which don't allow for false arrest, and also civil rights laws that don't allow for false allegations of crimes. What's ironic is that the ICE press releases around Mr. Jimenez Gonzalez's arrest have pointed to his criminal record of trespassing, which stems from these abuses at the Home Depot as a reason and justification for his apprehension and disappearance.
Congressmember Delia Ramirez, you're calling for the defunding of ICE?
I am. I think it's really important for us to understand $150 billion were just inserted into this organization, into this terror organization that would be as big as the fifth largest army in the world. They have no guardrails. There are no controls. They can do what they want. People, the family of Silverio are asking, who is investigating what happened to him? What will justice look like? And there's no guardrails. I have said it before, it is time for us to start defunding them and also start establishing accountability that is so desperately needed right now.
Well, you have to go, Congressmember Ramirez, but I wanted to ask you about this latest news. United Nations inquiry has concluded Israel's committed genocide in Gaza. This is Navi Pillay, who headed the commission.
In our report, the Commission found that the Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces committed and are continuing to commit the following underlying acts of genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. 1, killing members of the group. 2, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. 3, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. And 4, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group.
Congressmember Delia Ramirez,